So, we're looking at a story today about Jesus when he was 12 years old. Anyone here 12 years old? Ah, there you go. So, if you want to know what 12 years old looked like, just look at Ewan, who was, did the reading. And it's the only story we have of Jesus when he was a child, between when he was born and when he was about 30 and he started his ministry. But to help us with this, I want to think about what do children grow into? So, we've got a quiz, okay? Now, you can tell me, who does this child become? Anyone, any ideas who this child becomes?
Prince Charles,
okay, anyone else? Joe Biden?
Prince Philip?
Thrown by the uniform. Any other ideas? You got any ideas down here? No? Is it a newsreader? No. Donald Trump. David is right. It is Donald Trump. There you go. Hasn't changed a bit. Okay. What about this child? Who's this child become? It's not Donald Trump. Okay. Olivia Newton-John. Okay, interesting guess. Are you looking? All looking a bit. Completely stumped. You in? I don't know who it is, but no. Sorry? Taylor Swift is the answer. There you go. Okay, what about this one? Who's this child become? Any ideas on this one? Harry Kane is the right answer, yes. You said Harry Maguire. Harry Kane, England captain, football captain. Okay, what about this one? Kate Middleton, yes, it's Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton. I thought I was one of the harder ones, but you're obviously getting the swing of it now, okay? What about this one?
Oh.
That's me, yeah? See, still looking as gormless as ever, right. Okay, so, now in the story today, Jesus is a child, and we're going to see that Jesus sort of already shows signs of what he's going to grow into and become. But actually, in the story, Jesus gets lost. So now, I need really six volunteers. Can you be six? So any other volunteers? There are six letters, red letters, scattered around the church. So if we can have people find all six letters and bring them to the front. I forgot to mention this one. So there's a guy called Gukaresh Domaraju who is just recently become the world champion at chess. Okay? And he's only 18 years old. So I know you all follow chess very carefully and you all know this already. But that's an amazing feat because he's the youngest ever player to become the world champion. That's pretty impressive. What was also impressive was that at 12 years old, he became a grandmaster at chess. He was the third youngest player to ever become a grandmaster. And a grandmaster means you're one of the top chess players in the world. So that was incredibly impressive. It showed that he was someone incredibly impressive even at a young age. And so it's no surprise that he's now become a grandmaster at 18. Okay, now I need people to hold these up. Sorry. Can I have the six people back? We got six? We got all six now. So come back. Yeah. So can you try and arrange them, the red letters, in a word? Okay, so you can work out what word it is. So while they try and search out what word it is, Toby's going to help as well. Come and help, Toby. So Jesus, in the story, was lost. Thank you. What had happened was the whole family had gone to Jerusalem, and they had gone there for the Passover, which they did every year. It was a big festival. There'd been lots of people buzzing about, and probably crowds and crowds of people would have come from Galilee and Nazareth, where Jesus lived, and all gone down together over days' journeys to get to Jerusalem. And then they'd been there for the Passover. They had a big feast, a bit like our Christmas, really. A big feast together in Jerusalem and celebrating everything else, and then they'd all gone back home again. And when Jesus was 12, his family did that as normal. He did it every year. But this year, the parents got a day's journey on the way back to Nazareth and discovered that Jesus wasn't with them. And you think that's a bit careless. But probably in those days, all the cousins and everyone else were sort of hanging out together, and the 12-year-olds would have been off doing their own thing. And so they probably weren't surprised that he wasn't with them immediately, but they began to realize he wasn't there at all. And so they headed back for Jerusalem, and they searched around Jerusalem. It wasn't a particularly big city. I don't know where they searched. You know, where do you search for 12-year-olds if you lost a 12-year-old? Any ideas? No, I don't know. McDonald's. So they searched at McDonald's. Amusement park. Playgrounds. They searched all those places, but they had no sign of him. And then they found him in the temple with all the wise teachers. So it's a bit like going to Oxford and searching for a 12-year-old and discovering that he was actually in the lecture hall discussing with all the lecturers what was going on. This is really strange. Okay, have you worked it out now?
No.
N-O-W. No. Okay, right. So no. W, I, S.
Wisdom.
Wisdom, well done.
I'm so smart.
Demonstrating your whiz. You hold that one. You hold those two. That way round. That's it. Can you do that? Can you hold that one as well? Sorry, you're multitasking. Can you see that? Wisdom. Give them a round of applause. Well So why does Jesus tell us this story about... Oh, sorry, where does Luke tell us this story about Jesus? In lots of ancient biographies, they wanted to know about what people were like when they were children, so it's quite common to put a story in about when they were young, maybe when they were 12. But why does Luke choose this story? What does he want to show us about Jesus that's so special? And the first thing is wisdom. If you read the verse before our reading, it actually says there that Jesus grew in wisdom. So from when he was a baby to when he was 12, one of the things that happened was he grew in wisdom. If you look at the verse at the end of the passage, what does it say after he was 12? Jesus grew in... Okay, Luke is highlighting, right at the beginning and the start, that he wants to talk about Jesus' wisdom. And actually, if you counted all the words in the Greek, which I haven't, and you looked at the middle words of the whole passage, it says he was sitting with the teachers. Jesus, as a 12-year-old, was talking to, discussing, arguing with the experts at Jewish law, at wisdom of his world, at his time, and he was only 12 years old. This showed that he had remarkable and amazing wisdom. He knew how best to live when he was only 12. He knew how best to understand God and connect with God when he was only 12. That was incredible. But actually, we should be expecting that. Because if you've been coming over to Christmas services, you know that the angels keep coming along and telling everyone how great this child is. What do they say about him? They say that he's the Messiah. He's the son of David. We saw that when the angel Gabriel came. We saw that when the shepherds had the angels appear to him. And what was special about David's son who became king? He was called Solomon. And the thing he's best known for in the Bible is wisdom. He prayed to God and asked for wisdom, and he was given it. He had incredible wisdom. He had wisdom that was world-renowned. He was the grand master of wisdom of his day. Even people like the Queen of Sheba came from miles and miles away to see Solomon because of his wisdom. And later on in the Gospel, when Jesus is challenging a town that hadn't really taken him seriously, they said, look, he said to them, look, one greater than Solomon is here. But unlike the Queen of Sheba, you're ignoring him. And we shouldn't be surprised, because in Isaiah chapter 11, when it talks about the coming Messiah, the coming king, the new son of Jesse, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. We should expect that this new son of David, the new Messiah, the new Christ, is someone who comes with wisdom, who knows how to live, who knows how to relate to God. And so Luke shows us that even at 12, Jesus is really exhibiting the kind of qualities you would expect from the Messiah. Qualities of wisdom. He's showing us that if we want to look around the world and decide who we should follow, who we should trust, who we should listen to when we think about how to live our lives and how to relate to God, who's the best person to go to, who's the grand master of wisdom? Jesus. So that's the first thing Luke wants to show us. Okay, now on the back of the cards are blue letters. Can you see if you can work out this one? Can you work out a word from that? Can we have a quick go at that? The problem is in this passage, though, there's a bit of a tension. Do you notice the tension in the passage? The tension is really between Mary and Jesus. Now, my mum was visiting this weekend, and she actually came to the service at St. George's when I was preaching the same sermon. So it's a bit odd having to preach about a passage where Jesus is having an argument with his mother, when my mother's in the congregation. But there we go. And when Mary and Joseph do find Jesus, Mary says to him, "Look, your father and I have been so anxious looking for you. How could you have done this to us?" In other words, she seems to be blaming Jesus for what's happened. But was she right to blame Jesus? Well, we'll see. Father, well, give them a round of applause. They worked it out this time. Okay, so I'll explain about Father in a minute. So Mary was sort of saying, you know, why have you done this to us, Jesus? And was it that Jesus was behaving badly, but then we're meant to believe that Jesus was sinless, that he did nothing wrong throughout his whole life? So was Jesus behaving badly? I think probably the problem was a clash of expectations. So Mary was expecting Jesus to be like any other 12-year-old, hanging out with all the other 12-year-old friends and playing with them and messing about with them. And that's why she thought he was with them coming back in the group coming back. And maybe she hadn't been particularly clear with Jesus, you know, we're going back on this day, make sure you're with us. But Jesus had a different expectation. He expected that he should be with the wise people talking about wisdom and learning about wisdom from them. Why was that? Well, if you look at the passage, Mary says, your father and I, she actually stresses father, meaning Joseph, we're looking for you and really anxious for you. But Jesus' response is, why are you surprised I'm here? I'm in my father's house. Actually, I think in the original Greek, it's not that clear. It could mean doing my father's business or about my father's business. In other words, Jesus is saying, actually, Joseph isn't my father. God is my father. He didn't say our father. We would say our father. But Jesus says my father. In other words, Jesus at the age of 12 understands that he has a unique and a special relationship with God as the Son of God. And that gives him a different vocation, a different way to live than others. And that meant being about his father's business, so it meant growing in wisdom so he could teach wisdom later on. And so he responds in that way to his mother. Look, and his parents were told, I don't understand what's going on here, what's this really about? But it's about Jesus understanding who he was. And again, we shouldn't be surprised because the angel Gabriel said to Mary, this child of yours will be called the Son of the Most High. You'll be known as the Son of God. Jesus was unique and special. And again, I think Luke tells us this story to illustrate that Jesus, even at a young age, realized who he was. And so we can be confident. It wasn't just some cracked up idea he got when he was 30. This is something he understood from his birth, through his childhood. But he wanted to do what his father wanted in heaven, rather than just following his parents' expectations. When we read passages like this, we need to think about, yes, how special Jesus is, and Luke tells us, I think, mainly for us to see how special Jesus is so we can trust in him and follow him. But also, how can we follow Jesus' example? So when I look at Grandmaster Gukaresh, his brilliance at chess, and I like playing chess a lot, and I try and play well, I can learn from him how to play chess better, but I'll never be a grandmaster. Apparently my nephew wants to be a grandmaster, he's 12. He's living a bit late, but you know, he could have his chance. But 50, whatever. I'm not going to be a grandmaster at this stage. But I can learn from him and become a better chess player and win more games. Now, winning at chess doesn't matter. Winning at life, or living a good life, or living a life as God wants, takes wisdom. And we can learn from Jesus and follow his example. So three things I want to say about this, following Jesus' example. First of all, Jesus as a 12-year-old was emphasizing growing in wisdom. Now, only one of us here is 12. Someone slightly younger. And I really hope and pray that you three and Toby and the other children here will grow in wisdom in following Jesus. That's what we really hope for. You know, it's great that we have children come to St. Luke's and doing that. But as we get older, we might think we're past growing up. We're past learning. We're past developing our wisdom. But that's not true. No matter how old we are, we want to be growing in wisdom. We want to be growing in our understanding of how to live for God, growing in our understanding of who God is and what he's done. So why not, in 2025, commit to reading your Bible more, coming to church more regularly, meeting with other Christians, praying and thinking about how can you live for God in a more wise way? Secondly, Jesus didn't meet the expectations of his parents, but did what he thought God wanted. Now, God calls us to different vocations. Most people aren't called to be a teacher of God's wisdom like Jesus. Some of you will be called to be doctors, nurses, teachers, carpenters, plumbers, whatever. We all have different vocations. But are we doing what God calls us to? That's one question to ask. But also, are we doing it as God calls us to do it? Are we really seeking to do our job or our volunteer role or our care for our family as service of God in God's way, for God's will? Of course, God might be calling you to help out more at the church, and as a vicar, you'd want me to say that, but in all areas of life, are you doing it as God wants? But thirdly, you three are doing brilliantly up here, by the way, sorry. Thirdly, actually, although Jesus is a bit sort of, there's a bit of tension between Jesus and his mother, isn't there? You know, why did you treat us like this and make us so anxious? Well, didn't you understand? Jesus, there is a tension in expectations. And if you seek to follow God, there will be a tension in expectations between you and possibly your family or your friends or your colleagues. But Jesus didn't rub that in. It says at the end that Jesus went back to Nazareth with his parents and he obeyed them. He grew in wisdom, but he probably also became a carpenter. And it says at the end as well that he grew in, I can't remember the exact word, but he grew in respect, stature, grew in and respect of God and man. In other words, people around him saw him as a good guy, doing a good job, doing good work, and respected him more and more. They saw his wisdom in action. We may be called to be different as Christians, but we're not called to be difficult as Christians. As far as we can, we should seek to earn respect from those around us, to be good people, doing good work in God's ways, so that people look at us and think, actually, there's something about these Christians that's worth emulating, that's worth following, that's worth knowing about. So three examples from Jesus. We're not Jesus. Jesus is special. Jesus is unique. And in many ways, the passage tells us that. But we can learn from his example. Grow in wisdom. Do what God wants you to do and do it in God's way and seek to earn the respect of people around you as best you can, even as you seek to live for God and do his ways and not meet their expectations. Sorry, that's a bit confused. Lego, you get the idea. Thank you so much. Thank you so much to you three. Give them a round of applause. You've been three, acted as six. That's fantastic. Thank you. Let's just finish with a prayer. Thank you. Father, help us to trust in Jesus as the ultimate source of wisdom. Help us to know that he is your son come to save us. But help us also to follow his example, to grow in wisdom ourselves, to prioritize your vocation for our lives, and to seek to earn the respect of those around us. Amen. Thank you.